Relationships. Ugh. Did you know the Yoga Sutras gives advice about relationships? The Yoga Sutras is one of the classic texts studied in yoga and was written over 2,000 years ago. It contains 196 short phrases that summarize what is known as Raj Yoga, the royal path. How could it still be relevant in this day and age? Well, it is because yoga is the science of life. Today's podcast will discuss relationships and guidelines from the Yoga Sutras regarding relationships. Namaste. Welcome to Swamiji, the OG. I'm so happy you're tuning in to today's episode. This podcast is for people who want to learn how yoga can empower their lives, both on and off the mat. I will share classical yoga that's been modernized just for you. We are on this journey together, so let's get started. How do you feel about relationships? Have you ever noticed that relationships often go from, oh, relationships, ah, to relationships, ugh. Relationships can be glorious. Relationships can be tough. One thing that's for sure is that they are always fluid. Sometimes that's because the person with whom we are in a relationship seems to change. But it is often how we feel about ourselves at any given moment that is the most fluid and results in the most change, because we repress a lot of what we're feeling. As long as everything is going great in a relationship, we don't have to face our own negative patterns that are buried beneath the surface because, hey, all is well. But when a relationship begins to hit the inevitable bumps in the road, the first reaction is usually to blame the other person. But our relationships often reflect something in ourselves that we need to face. And those bumps in the road have to do with how we feel about ourselves and what patterns we've developed over our lifetimes when in relationship with all the other people in our lives. These patterns lie in the subconscious mind, just waiting for a trigger that will stimulate, which is essentially an automated response. These patterns, these neurological thought loops, are called samskaras. Samskaras can be defined as a planned action, but in reality, it is usually not planned. It is a reaction. It is an automated thought loop. Maybe after the reaction, you realize that this was not the best action to take. And if you could do it over, you would make a different choice. But then, because life has this tricky way of putting you in the same situation again, you find you have the same reaction again. It's the classic case of saying, "I'll never do that again," and then you do it again. In the Yoga Sutras in Chapter 1, Sutra number 33, there is advice about relationships. It says that four attitudes need to be managed to manage different situations within relationships. For those who are happy, we should meet them with friendship. For those who are suffering, we should meet them with compassion. For those who are virtuous, we should rejoice in knowing them. And for those who express their vices, their negative behavior, treat them with indifference and equanimity. It is said by following these four attitudes, one will achieve peace of mind and be able to overcome mental distractions. Many of our mental distractions, our mind's ruminations, come from our relationships. But let's look at each of the attitudes to be cultivated and why they have a place in the sutras. Because mostly they seem that they would be easy when we look at them on the surface. Express friendliness to those who are happy. That one seems easy enough. Someone is happy. It's easy to be friendly, right? Not always. Sometimes when someone is happy, we wish them well on the surface, but become a bit jealous of their happiness. We might think, why can't I be that happy? Why do they deserve happiness and I don't? This is especially true when their happiness comes from something we wanted to happen in our own lives. Then we are reminded of our own desires that remain unfulfilled, or we sometimes feel like we've somehow failed in our life. Also, the word for friendliness is maitri. This is a deeper manifestation of friendliness. It's not just putting friendliness out on the surface, but it's an ongoing attitude of friendliness that arises spontaneously from within, without any effort at all. It's an outpouring of an inner attitude of friendliness. Next, we have compassion for those who are suffering. Again, on the surface, this may seem natural. If I ask you how you feel when someone is suffering, you might say, I feel sorry for them. But feeling sorry for someone is not compassion. Feeling sorry may simply be a form of pity, which in itself includes an air of superiority, or even happiness that it's not you. The Sanskrit word for compassion is karuna, which occurs when compassion flows out of you, bringing comfort and support out of the concern for the well-being of others, not yourself. Sometimes when we see suffering in others, it can trigger the opposite reaction. Instead of bringing comfort and support for the well-being of others, it brings a feeling of being a burden for us. It makes us uncomfortable. It frightens us. It makes us feel like we want to move away from that suffering. Compassion calls upon us to be kind, to go beyond our own concerns, to connect at the heart level with the suffering of others. This takes strength. The third attitude is to rejoice in knowing the virtuous. Here the word is mudita. It means joy. To be in the company of joy and feeling elevated by that connection. To be near someone who has the virtues of patience, compassion, courage, reliability, kindness, humility. These are qualities to be cultivated for evolution of the personality and spiritual nature. It is said that one way we can cultivate these qualities within ourselves is to be in the connection with someone that embodies them, someone that inspires us to be like that. The heart leaps when we are near these virtuous ones. We can then study this person and contemplate what makes them special. And in so doing, we have a compass to point the way on our own evolution and spiritual path. It is also important that we attempt to see virtues in those who don't make the heart leap. Even those people have at least one virtue. Maybe their stubbornness annoys you, but when you look more closely, you see it comes from a place of diligence. Finding virtue and being joyful in it. Lastly, comes what is usually the hardest of these attitudes for us. Treat with indifference those whose lives are expressed through vices. It's important to point out that this does not mean being blind to the bad behavior of others. It is the ability to practice upeksha, a form of psychological non-contact, whereby their actions do not upset your equilibrium. It's not detachment. It's not letting the actions of others to continue to live on inside of you. When you encounter someone like this, you may ask, why does this person behave like this? The most authentic answer to your question is, I don't know. Because the reality is that you don't know. You are not that person. You don't know the workings of their mind. We want to know why they behave like that, but we really don't know. Most of us struggle understanding why we behave the way we do. Like us, their actions, their harmful behaviors stem from their own, mostly unconscious patterns of their mind. And these are the result of their lifetime of experience, their lifetime of relationships. Remember, these patterns are called samskaras, the neurological thought loops that keep repeating and keep us reacting in the same way over and over again. If you continue association and connection with that person, you can get dragged down to their level. We become the victims of their behavior by becoming angry. And that anger hurts us first. With continued anger, our ability to see clearly, to be reasonable and creative, is destroyed, further perpetuating the dysfunction of the situation. Anger sucks up a lot of energy. But long-term dysfunctional resentment sucks up more. By maintaining equanimity, we can be more compassionate towards these unhappy people, knowing they must be suffering in their misdirected attempts to find fulfillment. But remember, that compassion can be from afar. I'll tell you a personal story about one of my relationship samskaras. When I was halfway through the second grade, I was skipped into the third grade. So I took two grades in 1 year. This was in a small rural school where the average grade size was 20 students. Not class size, grade size. All 12 grades were in one building. Everyone knew everyone. I quickly became an outcast. The second graders didn't like that I was smart enough to be skipped ahead. And when I continued to be at the top of the new class, the third graders didn't like that. So they called me baby second grader. I yearned to be liked, but I felt no one liked me. In fact, one person agreed to play with me after school if I didn't tell anyone she was my friend. This went on for years, year after year. Children can be really cruel, but so can adults. The pattern became established that I felt unaccepted. And with that, I began to lack self-acceptance. What is wrong with me that they don't like me? I asked over and over again in my mind. I so wanted to be liked. Over the years, this created a pattern of trying to please people so they would like me, so that I would have friends. But in subjugating my own self-worth over years and years, a level of resentment seethed just below the surface. I wasn't aware of this resentment, but it was there. Now, this could have come out as anger, but rarely did. Mostly it was suppressed. And it became the driving force that made me feel I needed to be better, to be perfect, to try harder to succeed. I worked harder than others to prove myself. I was an excellent anesthetist at the young age of 25 and even taught anesthesia, though I was younger than my students. And at the same time, I completed a degree in anthropology while I was working full-time. I played harder than others so that people would think I was really cool. I trekked the Himalayas to Mount Everest Base Camp. I rode camels through the Indian Desert. I went scuba diving on the Great Barrier Reef. For fun, I bicycled to Michigan and back to visit my family twice. I had so many adventures, and I had many friends. But underlying it all, I often felt judgmental of those who didn't meet my level of performance, my expectations. You see, it was all about me. It was all about me. Me and my patterns, my samskaras. Over the last many years, as I worked hard on becoming more aware of my patterns through my yoga practices, I came to realize that at the root of it all, I was still that unhappy child. No matter how hard I worked or how many accomplishments I achieved, I was still trying to be liked. It was still painful whenever someone didn't like me, even though many people did. I ruminated, why doesn't that person like me? As my awareness grew, I realized that I needed to garner more self-respect, more self-acceptance, and forgiveness of who I am, warts and all. that maybe it wasn't just me. Maybe it was them. Maybe it was the interaction between the two of us. I began to set better boundaries with people. I stopped letting people be mean to me. I realized many of my so-called friends were not really my friends anymore because they had remained in relationship with my old patterns, because those old patterns served them and their patterns. My newer patterns of self-respect and self-acceptance no longer served them. With this realization that they were manifesting their own patterns, their own samskaras, I needed to come to terms with the unlikelihood that their patterns were not going to change, no matter how many chances I gave them to like me, because I was evolving and many of them weren't. I needed to practice that fourth attitude, to be indifferent to their dramas, to exercise psychological non-contact, and to part ways, to let go, to try to take the higher road and not be pulled down by them and their dramas. I looked to my guru, my teacher, and the teachings of yoga to inspire me, to uplift me, to find joy in those virtues. At the same time, I began working more on compassion. I'm becoming more compassionate toward my own times of suffering. And all of this is resulting in becoming friends with my own mind. I am a 68-year-old woman who is resolved to no longer be the unhappy child striving to be liked. Because in the end, we need to be in a healthy relationship with ourselves to be in a healthy relationship with others. So although the Yoga Sutra, Chapter 1, Sutra 33, is about relationships with others, I feel first it needs to be about the relationship with yourself. Otherwise, we cannot easily apply them in our relationships with others. Be friendly to your happiness. Be compassionate when you suffer. Find joy in your own virtues, whatever they are. And acknowledge your negativity, your vices, but be indifferent to the dramas that they may cause. Let them go. Don't create the drama. Take care of yourself. Then you can serve, love, and give to others. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you learned something useful. You can find me on Instagram at Atmarupa Saraswati, on Facebook at Swamiji the OG, or on my website at atmacenter.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And I'd love to see you share your thoughts, ask questions, or leave a review. See you next time.